You know, we've had some conversations and actually some events here locally when it comes to Sexual Assault Awareness Month. As you'd mentioned here, Agent Cho, about the Homeland Security investigation focus here, let's talk about, I guess, maybe how trafficking in general terms maybe folds into the information that needs to go out when it comes to Sexual Assault Awareness Month.
Yeah, thanks for that. Combating human trafficking is a top priority for Homeland Security investigations. Globally, 28 million men, women, and children are subjected to trafficking. Just 200,000 alone in the United States are known to be trafficked. Now, these are estimates. The number is probably much higher than that because oftentimes it goes unreported. So why is this an issue? Because sexual assault happens in the vast majority of these cases. HSI is a federal and a global leader in this fight. We work with stakeholders at all levels, from federal, state, and local, to identify and protect these victims and bring the perpetrators to justice. And now when I say it is a federal and global leader, in the United States, we have 237 offices. Globally, we have 93 offices in 56 countries. And human trafficking is one of the top drivers for organized crime around the world. This is why it's so important that we be on the lookout for it.
This is one of those things, as you mentioned here, it's not reported. And I'm assuming just simply because of the fear of reprisal and retribution. Is it really anything more than that, why it's not really reported, or it's simply happening in plain sight and we just don't see it?
Yeah, traffickers use force, fraud, and coercion to control and exploit their victims. Sometimes they impose debt, fraudulent employment opportunities. They provide false promises of education or a better life. There's psychological coercion and violence or threats of violence. So this goes unreported for that very reason. Sometimes there's shame involved. When you're talking about some of the individuals being of certain demographic backgrounds, oftentimes they're newly arrived immigrants. They can be any gender, race, sex, ethnicity, nationality, immigration status, socioeconomic background. The individuals, the traffickers, prey upon the identity of the individual, and utilizing force, fraud, or coercion, they're able to entrap these people into cooperating.
And then you go from there into the sexual assault, and I'm assuming basically whatever form of sexual assault you can think of, then, you know, that happens in these cases regardless of the age.
So 77% are believed to be victims of forced labor trafficking, and the rest, the 23%, are believed to be victims of sex trafficking. So it goes hand in hand. Here at HSI, we take a victim-centered approach when we conduct these investigations. It's not just about going after the bad guy and arresting him or her, but we also focus on the victim through our victim assistance program, which is an integral resource to HSI. It's to provide certain relief, certain benefits for these trafficking victims that are accorded to them by law, to ensure that they can not only go back into a better life, but also they're able to provide information to HSI so that we can arrest and prosecute the individuals who were involved in this heinous crime.
Can you maybe expand on that a little bit more about some of the different services that you have available through HSI, and then maybe some of the partnerships that you have at the state and maybe more local levels in order to have this holistic approach and victims can get back to something approaching normal as fast as possible?
DHS is the department which oversees the Countering Human Trafficking, CCHT, the Center for Countering Human Trafficking, office. It is run by HSI out of Washington, D.C., and it integrates the efforts of 16 agencies across the country. We also partner with various NGOs and groups that provide services. Whenever we have information from state and local law enforcement, or even NGOs sometimes, that there is an allegation of human trafficking, after investigating it, we will reach out to specific agencies locally to ensure that the victim is aligned with that agency to receive that support. What we ask is for the public that if they suspect they witnessed or know someone who's a possible victim of either crime, whether it's forced labor trafficking or sex trafficking, to call our HSI tip line. That's 866-DHS-2423. Again, 866-DHS-2423.
Going into that, are there some telltale kind of relatively clear-cut signs of potential trafficking, or is it a lot more subtle here so people really have to be watching for it? Or is it one of those things where it's obvious and people may not be either tuned into it or they just don't want to be involved?
It's really difficult to establish a profile for a human trafficking victim because it runs across the entire gamut. We're finding that oftentimes these are people that, again, may be disadvantaged socioeconomically. Sometimes they are U.S. citizens. Sometimes they're non-U.S. citizens. They could be male, female, family members, caregivers. They could be friends. They could be strangers. We've noticed individuals who have been smuggled across the U.S.-Mexico border in search of a better life, who often go from a human smuggling individual to a human trafficking victim. I've seen high school students who've come from extremely privileged backgrounds, whose parents are very affluent, and they are on social media, and then they meet someone and end up becoming a human trafficking victim that is sexually trafficked across state lines. This happens. This happens in our community. It's just difficult to notice it because when we oftentimes think of a human trafficking victim, we're thinking of someone from perhaps Southeast Asia, someone who travels across borders, someone who is maybe unable to have that freedom of movement. We don't think of people in Kansas or Missouri or the Heartland. We think of usually immigrants, and that's not the case. This happens everywhere, and we're oftentimes seeing it on social media. Some of the most popular apps, you will find individuals who are trying to traffic young girls, young boys, for both sex trafficking and forced labor trafficking.
That's going to be my next question here, is just how prevalent social media is in driving this now. Is it the main driver in making these connections that ultimately lead to some pretty bad ends?
Yes, social media is the primary medium when it comes to traffickers finding and recruiting young boys and girls that ultimately become victims of trafficking.
Okay. Before we talk about some of the things and some of the, you know, granted the difficulties in maybe spotting trafficking, from your investigations and with other agents, either in the Kansas City office or elsewhere across the country, when these victims are found and they're found alive, I know that the situations vary from case to case, but what type of physical shape, what kind of emotional state, mental state are they in when they are found? Really, what type of an immediate damage is done to sex trafficking and human trafficking victims before they're able to maybe start the recovery process, if they can put everything back together again?
I think the first concern that we have, something that we addressed, is the psychological scar. It's that trauma of being sexually trafficked. You also have that shame that they're unable to integrate back into the community readily, easily because of the distrust. Oftentimes we find that they've been drugged. Usually it's heroin. Sometimes we're finding fentanyl, where they are addicted to drugs because the trafficker will use that to ensure compliance. And at the same time, there's a certain addiction that comes about. They become dependent on the trafficker. It's the trafficker's way of manipulating the victim to remove him or her from that network base of their parents, their friends. And so when we find them, it's traumatic. It's not just physical abuse, but psychological, emotional. And it takes months, if not years, for that victim to be able to integrate back into the community, into society, to start trusting others again. It takes its toll.
I guess before we wrap things up here, Agent Cho, what can folks do? And how do they, you mentioned here the helpline and the tip line. How can folks help and really kind of help their fellow person in order to avoid either getting involved in a situation like this or getting, you know, helping them to get out of it?
Yeah. So I think the key is for people to communicate, right? They need to talk to their friends. They need to talk to their parents. And at the same time, the parents, the friends, the relatives, if they think something is off, if they feel like perhaps, you know, something is shady, something is illegal, they need to report it to the local law enforcement. That is key because oftentimes there are telltale signs that often go unreported. When people meet up with someone that they've never talked to on the phone, that they've never met in person before, they meet online, and then this individual wants to take them out to a different area, it's important for that to be relayed to family members, to friends, because communication is key when it comes to sex trafficking.
Is there anything else that you wanted me to bring up here in our stories? Well, I'll probably run these Friday is what my plan is, but is there anything that you wanted me to bring up that we haven't hit on, or anything else that needs more emphasis that we've already discussed?
Perhaps the human trafficking is just one aspect of the HSI mission. As the principal investigative arm of DHS, we investigate all levels of transnational crime and threats. And the reason why human trafficking is so important is because it's one of the four top drivers for transnational criminal organizations globally. When we think about crime, we often think about drug trafficking or weapons trafficking. We don't think about human trafficking. It's one of the top four drivers, and it fuels these organizations that are involved in other activity. The same organizations that traffic drugs into the United States are also involved in human trafficking. I think it's important for people to recognize this. And again, the DHS, we have the HSI tip line, and I think it's important for people to know that, 866-DHS-2423.